fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue to make my way through this section of the Catechism that helps us catch some of the main themes for this Advent season. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been talking mostly about Advent and some of the key themes of it. Advent is that time of the year, the head of the church year, the beginning of the new journey for us to pass through the whole life and story of Jesus. We ended just a week or so ago talking about the Feast of Christ the King and celebrating the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And the kingdom of God is definitively established in the person of Christ. God's future, God's plan, the future of the human race is there in the person of Jesus. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the programs this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, hit on the radio icon on our website there. It'll all open up for you. You can listen to the programs right there on your computer. You can browse the archive programs. There's months of programs on there that you can catch up on if you haven't had a chance, or download them and put them on whatever device you have to be able to listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. And take time while you're there to browse the website. There's a lot of good stuff there that's free for the taking. A lot of our newsletters, our booklets. You can browse and see where God is using us in missions around the world that maybe God would call you to join us sometime. But anyway, give it some time. And I think you'll be blessed by it. All right, the section of the Catechism is taken from part one of the Profession of Faith, moving through the Creed. The Catechism is unfolding the Creed for us, our Confession of Faith and what it is we believe. And this section is, this is chapter 2, article 7, and beginning with paragraph 668, which I read on Monday. And the point I was making there was the church begins with this statement from Romans, chapter 14, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living. So in one simple sentence, Paul states very clearly, why did Jesus die and rise again? Well, one fundamental reason is that he would be Lord of both the dead and of the living. Now, the second paragraph, 669, kind of continues the theme of the unique lordship and majesty of Jesus. And I love the way this is described. It says, as Lord, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. There's a great reflection right there for Advent. We are his body. We're the body of Christ. Christ is the head of a new creation that God is forming. One new man, Scripture talks about. Christ the head, we are the body. And we're united to Jesus through our baptism in the Holy Spirit. The reason we can share in Christ's victory, the reason we can be brought from death to life, is that we can, by his grace and power, be united to his victory and united to the life in him that passed from death to life itself, eternal life, that passed into glory. He gives us a share in that. So we're united to Jesus when we're baptized into him and walking in him. So he's the head of the church. And the church is not just the church militant here on earth, but it's also the church in purgatory that's being purified and the church in glory. The saints with him united. We're all united together in one body. The paragraph continues, taken up to heaven and glorified after he thus fully accomplished his mission, Christ dwells on earth in his church. When he was at the right hand of the Father, St. Peter tells us, that is, when Jesus passed from death to life, he rose from the dead and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. St. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2, it's from that place of lordship, enthroned at the right hand of the Father, where Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit. I mentioned on Monday the great proclamation Peter made that day on Pentecost, St. Peter. He said that this one you crucified, God raised him up, and he is made now Lord and Christ. Christ means anointed. Anointed with what? How was Christ anointed? With the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the anointing of God, the person of the Holy Spirit who accompanied Jesus on the earth is the same Spirit he gives to us to accompany us and to lead us. And here's a good question to consider during Advent, just from the line I read in the Catechism here. It says, taken up to heaven and glorified, after he thus fully accomplished his mission, Christ dwells on the earth in his church. Now, we too will be taken up to heaven if we've accomplished our mission, which is the mission Christ has given us the great commandment, love God, love neighbor with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the great commandment. Also the great commission, go make disciples of all nations. Each baptized person is called into this fundamental mission. It's the call to holiness and the call to mission. It's for everybody. Now, you too will be taken up into heaven. I will be taken up into heaven and glorified if I fully accomplish the mission that Jesus has given me. Advent's a great time to say, do I even know what that is? To ask yourself, do I even know what the mission is? Am I living it? Am I fully engaged in it? Am I serving the Lord on a daily basis, knowing exactly who I am, what I've been commissioned to do, and am I yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit that I've been given to fulfill that life? I mean, it's easy, friends, to feel on this earth like to be obscured, to feel like you're just a tiny little cog in a gigantic wheel or something. All the important stuff is happening in Silicon Valley or on Wall Street or in Hollywood or wherever, that all the movers and shakers in Washington, D.C. and the political realm, that's all the important stuff. Don't be fooled. Our mission in life is not to make telephones, fundamentally. Your fundamental mission in life is not even to try to fix the political problems in America. Your mission in life is not to become the most famous person you can be and immortalize yourselves in the properties you buy and the monuments you build toward yourself. All that's going to pass away. I mean, some of that might be part of the journey, making telephones. That might be the job you have. And if it is, great, good. Be excellent at it. Do a good job. Be honest. But don't be fooled to think it's everything. I remember hearing an interview in a documentary of the guy who was like the managing director or the chief engineer or something and building the Macintosh and working with the computer, working with Steve Jobs back in the day. And he was talking about how thrilling it was to work under Steve Jobs and how completely demanding he was and how all-consuming the project was. And it completely owned him. It defined his life. It defined his life so much that he gave all of his time to it. And in giving all of his time to it, he lost his wife and he lost his kids. He's reflecting back now, 25 years or how many years ago it was. He made a lot of money, and for a moment he was famous. He was attached to this thing and attached to, you know, Steve Jobs, the master of the universe kind of thing. And that somehow was his mission. He had a sense of purpose. Now, making the Mac's a nice thing. But it's over. It's done with. It's on the junk heap of history. It's passing away. And he lost everything for it. That's insane. That's someone who has no idea who he is and why he was made and where he's going. Every single human being was made by God, was made for God, whether they want to accept it or not. You know, choosing my own path, asserting my will and saying, I don't believe in God, there is no God, I believe in whatever people believe in, some alternative belief. They certainly have the power to do that. God gives us the power and the freedom to choose our own demise if we want to. But it doesn't in any way take away from the fact, the fundamental unchanging reality, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. And no matter how sincerely we may have believed what we decided to believe, we'll give an account before Jesus. My heart will be revealed before him. Did I want God? Did I desire God? Did I choose God? Did I say yes to God? Did I repent of my sin? And did I lay hold of the mission for which I was made? Or did I decide to live for a different purpose? Because I wanted to be the one to choose it for myself. Friends, we have to be careful. And Advent's this time of waking up, because the world is consumed and obsessed with itself and its own creations and finding its way according to its own light. That's darkness. Without God at the center of life doesn't mean a thing. I don't care how much glitter and gold and how many rewards we get for this thing we craft for ourselves. The bottom line is going to pass away, just like we're going to pass away. The question is, are we ready to pass away and get to the right place? Because, you know, the truth is, if we lived a life where we either ignored God or we were lukewarm toward God, that's going to be revealed. Our true heart is going to be revealed. And we're responsible for our own lives in this way. We've been given a life. Each person has been given an independent existence, stamped by the image of God, given powers and a capacity to respond to God, and a responsibility to do so. The fundamental question when we get before God is not, were you the designer of the iPhone 7? Or did you have a hit record that everybody thought was great? Or that you were a senator from the state of Ohio or whatever? The only question that's going to matter is, did you love God? Did you say yes to God? Did you say yes to God's offer? And in all the things that you did on earth, did you do it for your own glory? Did you do it for God? It's all going to be revealed, and it will be judged accordingly. This paragraph goes on. It says, the redemption is the source of the authority that Christ, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, exercises over the church. That is, his victory on the cross and his ascension into the glory. This work of redemption is the source of the authority that Christ, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, exercises over the church. The Holy Spirit serves the Lord in his purposes for the church. This is an amazing offer, a divine offer for our salvation, for our redemption, and an offer to be united to God and his purpose forever. The question is, have we received the offer? The paragraph goes on and says, quoting scripture, the teaching of the church, excuse me, not directly quoting from scripture, this is from the council. It says, the kingdom of Christ is already present in mystery on earth, the seed and the beginning of the kingdom. The church is that seed. It's the beginning of the kingdom. Christ in it is perfect. Peter Herbeck in it, you in it, is the imperfect part of the kingdom of the church, the mystery that exists now in a hidden way. It is the beginning of the kingdom. The kingdom has begun in you and in me if you've been baptized into Christ. Christ is present. Each person has become a dwelling place of God, everyone baptized into Christ. And his church is the temple of the living God, and he dwells therein. Have you made a home? Here's another good reflection for Advent. Have you made a home for the Lord? Do you understand that you're a dwelling place, a temple, a sacred thing, set apart by God? Are you reverencing him in your life, in the way you live and speak and act? Are you establishing that kingdom? Are you bringing that seed, that miraculous presence of Christ, the mystery, into your own home? Is he the center of your personal life and your family life? If you don't know, say, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your treasure? What are you doing with your talents? In what way do the exercise of those things and the use of those things express the lordship and majesty of Jesus? It's a key reflection in this season. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.